today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is on. You get it, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AMMM.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. Matt Miller, can we get rid of that? It is. It's not working. There. Not working. There we go. I'm waiting for it to mess up again. It just did. Can we switch that off of that pot? Pull that off of that pot and switch pots. We got a defective pot here. You got it? Okay. Until the next time. All right. At any rate, it's Thursday, the 7th of December, 2006, folks. On today's program, I've got Greg Grandin. He's the author of The Last Colonial Massacre, Latin America in the Cold War, The Blood of Guatemala, and The Empire's Workshop, The United States, and the most recently, The Rise of the New Imperialism. He teaches Latin American history. Latin American, yeah, it's, pull it and put it into another pot, if you can do that. All right. Now, without further interruption here. He received his BA from the from Brooklyn College in 92, his PhD from Yale in 99. In general, his work explores the connection between the diverse manifestations of everyday life and the large-scale societal transformation that took place in Central America related to the agricultural commodity production and state formation in the 19th and 20th centuries. His work examines how the U.S. foreign policy in Latin America has served as a model for U.S. actions in the Middle East and beyond. I've got this gentleman with us today. Good afternoon, Mr. Grandin.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I was reading your article in The Nation, Latin America's New Consensus, and from the gist of your article here, sir, it looks like Latin America and South America is taking a hiatus here from the free trade area of Americas.
Well, it hasn't signed up. The U.S. has been trying to promote the free trade agreement of the Americas, and most Latin American nations, at least the consequential ones in terms of their economy, Brazil and Argentina and Venezuela, have resisted over issues of intellectual property rights and U.S. insistence on subsidizing the agro industry and things like that. So there's also more broadly a kind of rejection of the kind of free market orthodoxy that the U.S. has been promoting over the last 20 years in Latin America, largely because it's failed. I mean, if you just kind of just do a simple comparison between, say, 1960 and 1980, kind of the heyday of state developmentalism, where the state had a more active role in the economy in Latin America. Economy grew cumulatively by 89% over the course of 20 years. And then if you look from 1980 to 2000, kind of the heyday of the kind of free market orthodoxy that began in 1980 and accelerated under Clinton, the economy grew cumulatively 9%. It was just a kind of miserable failure. But even worse than that growth record is just the kind of serial economic crises that rolled throughout Latin America, Mexico and Brazil and Argentina.
Okay, we've got to take the first break of the hour. I usually don't bring my guests up until after the first break, but I understand you can only spend about 40 minutes with us today?
45 minutes, yeah. I have to go somewhere at 6.
All right.
I'm on the East Coast.
All right, sounds good. Just hang on, sir. Greg Grandin, we'll be back with my guest right after this.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
When we think of places like Brazil, Brazil's it's got a good culture down there, but we don't necessarily think of these countries as being economic forces. We think of them being third world or backwater countries compared to the United States. But that is changing. We've got the Chinese in there making big deals with Brazil. I wonder if you could go over that for a second, Greg. It seemed to me that last year I was hearing our politicians here in Washington, and why they were doing this, I have no idea, because they were fronting for the IMF, talking about forgiving the debt of Argentina.
Well, they weren't so much forgiving the debt of Argentina. The Argentine economy tanked so bad in 2002 that they just couldn't make their $100 billion external debt. And when they kind of stabilized a little bit, when Néstor Kirchner, the Argentine's current president, took power and he offered international creditors a 30 cents on the dollar, take it or leave it offer. And now, normally in the past, financial corporations would have balked at such a deal and would have threatened to withhold further investment. But exactly because there are these alternative sources of investment, alternative sources of capital, China being one of them, but also the Russia and Europe and Middle East, there's significant kind of build-up accumulations of capital and credit elsewhere in the world that Latin America isn't as dependent on U.S. finance as it was in the past. Hence, it's giving it a little bit, Latin America, a little bit more leverage. So Argentina was able to renegotiate its foreign debt on better terms, and it was able to private financial concerns. Then it was also able to pay off what it owed the IMF completely. Uruguay did the same thing recently. Ecuador has just elected a president who has ran on a campaign pledge to renegotiate its foreign debt. So there's a kind of, what's going on is that Latin American nations are kind of leveraging the forces of globalization in order to give it a little bit more bargaining power.
Now, I read that in your article here. Expound on that.
Well, just that in the past, Latin America was very dependent on the U.S. as a source of, to export its own goods as the U.S. market. It was very dependent on U.S. capital to finance its own economies and capitalize its own economies. And U.S. power in the world, economic and political power, has long been based on kind of claiming Latin America as a province, a U.S. province, within a kind of increasingly open world. And what's going on now is that there are a number of larger structural economic forces which are weakening the United States' kind of unilateral economic power over Latin America. One of them is what I just mentioned, that there are these new sources of capital where Latin American nations aren't as dependent on the U.S., but also there's more integration among Latin American nations. So there's more trade going on among Latin American nations. Integration increased over the last 5 years by over 100%, much more than was predicted. So this means that there are new markets within Latin America that individual countries are not necessarily dependent on the U.S. market in order to export its goods. There are also new markets in Europe and in the Middle East and particularly China. So it's all of these things are giving them a little bit more, a better position in which to negotiate their political and economic relations with the U.S.
Well, and I'd seen the statements made by Condoleezza Rice as far as Bush's war on terrorism go. Cuba, during the Cold War, we did sanctions on them and whatever else. And it was almost like a political mantra, month after month, year after year. You know, this guy's a bad dictator, this, that, and the other, but he's 90 miles off our south here. He poses no military threat to the United States. And it seems that the people down in Cuba are happy with the guy. And it's following suit here. Chavez, I mean, the guy's a socialist. The political structure down there is socialism. Kind of intermixed with, a particular kind of fascism, government and business put together. But this guy has got some traction here in the United States as far as acceptance of being the head of Venezuela goes.
Well, I would distinguish Cuba from Venezuela a bit. Cuba is much more of an authoritarian society. There's a single party. The state controls the media. It really is.
Oh, you mean like here?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, more overtly, it
right.
really is, and I'm not so sure that the majority of Cubans would vote. I mean, there's obviously a sense of nationalism and a sense of getting angry at the U.S. when it tries to intervene. But if there was an election, I'm not sure that Castro or the Communist Party would have majority support. But in Venezuela, the media is not in the government hands. There are multiple political parties. There's a vibrant opposition. And Chavez repeatedly does show that he has majority support. And most recently, 62%, seven and a half million votes. There's much more political freedom in Venezuela than there is in Cuba. I would distinguish between the two. But you're right. There is a tendency in the United States to demonize other countries, when it suits our purposes. Obviously, no matter how bad Cuba is, it's nowhere near as bad as China. But you don't see much getting upset about what goes on in China and Chinese prisons and whatnot. And what happens with Cuba has more, I think, to do with domestic politics, the electoral votes in Jersey and Florida.
Right. Well, and everybody's, I remember 4 or 5 years ago, the political strategists in Washington, D.C. were taking great pains to spell out the end of Fidel Castro. Apparently, the guy is on his last legs. His son, I do believe, is running the country.
His brother
is, and they've been waiting for bated breath. And I don't know what change that's going to make for Cuba, but I'll tell you, I've got friends who want to open up dive shops on Cuba's south coast because it sits on some of the best water in the world. But things may change. During the 50s, Cuba was. It was the place to go. They had gambling, they had nightclubs, they had a vibrant tourist economy. That disappeared. Of course, it made organized crime in this country very unhappy, and politicians alike. But, you know, we put up with so many years of Fidel Castro that was absolutely no threat to the United States. Now, the most unique country that I see in South America right now is Venezuela. They are feeling their own oats. They have oil and gas. They're talking about doing 4,000 or 5,000 mile pipelines down to Argentina for natural gas. They are doing their own economic development.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they are trying to chart a different way. I mean, as I said, this kind of, you know, and when we use the term free market, it's really not free market. It's corporate. It's corporate control of U.S. economic policy. It's not free is not exactly the word I would use to describe it, but the kind of free market orthodoxy that the U.S. has promoted over the last two decades has really been a failure in Latin America, forcing Latin American markets open, while the U.S. agro industry enjoys enormous subsidies, decimates these the peasant economies of these countries, and then has no jobs for the people who are thrown off their land because they can't compete with agro industry, privatization of the industries, which just created massive unemployment, and the shrinking of state services. All of these policies in Latin America have been disastrous, and so what's going on is an attempt to kind of go beyond that. It's not radical in any sense of the word. In some ways, it's just kind of a return to this kind of New Deal kind of government involvement in the state to a degree, to promote a little bit more even development. And it's not socialism. It's not Castro, circa 1960. It's more like John Maynard Keynes, circa 1930.
Right. Well, I'm looking at this, and Chavez, I'll tell you what. He must really be an embarrassment to the Bush administration. His little visit to the United Nations last month, what they were spouting, him and the president of Iran, they're up there saying that, hey, we can smell sulfur here. We can smell the trail of the devil. He was just here.
And, Latin Americans are a little colorful in their language, it's a little strident here, but it goes over well in Latin America.
Well, and on the heels of that, while we have the gouging going on here by the petroleum companies in this country, what's their latest excuse for the high oil and gas prices now? Do you even know?
I know. Well, that's the thing. What I don't understand, I mean, I'm not an expert in oil and gas, but, when Chavez took power, oil was trading at $7 a barrel. And now it's, now it's gone down a little bit, but it was recently 10 times that, $70. Now, oil and the gas prices haven't gone up 700% in the last 10 years. So can you imagine the enormous profit they were making when it was $7 a barrel? I mean, they must have been just raking in the money. So what Chavez has done is basically, Chavez hasn't nationalized the oil industry in Venezuela. He's just forced more equitable contracts on multinationals, on ExxonMobil and Chevron and BP. It's still privatized. The corporations still have majority control of oil in Venezuela. It's just that he's managed to impose more equitable contracts in which more of the money goes to Venezuela and hence to social services, spending an enormous amount of money on education, healthcare.
Okay, we got the break here. We'll come right back after this. I want to get into next, if we can. Well, first, I want to polish up a few questions here about the North American Free Trade Agreement and how they seem to be turning their back on the imperialistic approach of the United States, if we can put it that way. We'll be right back with my guest, Greg Grandin, right after this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Now, there's something that can give you the extra energy you need without the use of powerful stimulants and pills. Introducing the all-new Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave. This amazing new patch works with the electronic and magnetic features of the body, like a cellular radio, to transmit information from the patches into the body and enhance the production of energy and stamina. And the patch is non-transdermal, which means nothing actually enters your body. It's safe. You simply apply the patch, and the Energy Enhancer does the rest. No more carrying around bottles, pills, or capsules. No more jitters from powerful stimulants. The LifeWave technology in the patches communicates with the body through the human magnetic field, untapping the energy within. Combined with a regular exercise program along with a healthy diet, the Energy Enhancer Patch may help give you the extra energy you need. So join the thousands who discovered the Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave and experience the energy within. To order your supply of the Energy Enhancer Patch, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't wait. Act now.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
The North American Union, which Mr. Bush, the Mexican president, the whatever they call them up in Canada, prime minister, president, whatever it was, the SPP deal, secure partnership deal. You ask any politician in Washington, D.C., oh, they know nothing about it. That is the groundwork. That is the basic final deal on the globalization that, well, the globalists want. You've seen it. It's happened already in Europe. They're trying to get as many countries into this deal as they possibly can. And I'm wondering, Greg, how this is setting with the globalization partners out there. They're looking at the United States, Mexico, but specifically Central and South America. They can't be happy about this because they want no part of it.
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about when you talk about Mexico or you talk about any country in Central America, you're talking about a population with enormous disparity of political power and economic power. So those plugged in Mexico has enormous inequality, economic inequality, one of the worst, just in sheer numbers, worst in the world. So those on the top plugged in the corporate capital circuits, obviously want to continue that kind of integration and free trade. Those at the bottom, peasants and the working class that have, particularly the agricultural sector in the South, which just can't compete with U.S. agro industry. These are small farmers that aren't as capitalized as much as U.S. corporations. And U.S. corporations, one of the things that NAFTA does, they call it free trade, but NAFTA demands that Mexico remove all of its subsidies to its small farmers and remove all of its tariffs to U.S. agricultural products, but it doesn't stipulate that the U.S. government stop subsidizing the agro industry. So there's just no way that these small holders can compete with U.S. corn, cheap corn and cheap beans, and it's just devastating. And this is why there's a kind of correlation between the signing of NAFTA and the immigration crisis, because hundreds of thousands of people, particularly south of Mexico City in the southern agricultural agrarian poor states, have been thrown off their land, and they have to go somewhere, and the jobs aren't being created. And one of the things that NAFTA does that nobody talks about is that in 2008, Mexico still has a few subsidies that it gives to smallholders in terms of supports, economic supports to farmers. And in 2008 is when the last of those have to be abolished. And again, they don't prohibit ongoing subsidies to U.S. sugar and corn and Archer Daniels and things like that. So the inequity is just unsustainable, and this is why there's a kind of parallel between the immigration crisis and NAFTA.
Well, and here's the question for these agricultural-based countries that aren't rolling in dough. There seems to be people that want to plug corporations, want to take care of business. They want to go in and exploit the raw materials, do whatever they can to make their dollar, whatever widget or service or whatever they're doing. But it strikes me, sir, that when you look at some of these Central American countries, that they're not plugged into that matrix that would demand and fuel that huge economic engine. Do they really want it, or more importantly, do they really need it?
Well, I mean, again, this is depends on who you're talking about. The financial sector, wants to integrate.
We already know who the IMF is. And
right.
The,
yeah. No, but I mean, I'm talking about the elites in these countries that see their interests more in terms of this globalized economy that control the levers of political power, that control a political agenda. Majority of people in Central America are, I'm sure, opposed to the Central American Free Trade Agreement. But it doesn't really matter when you look at who influences Central American politics. In terms of Central America, the Central American sugar producers actually in Guatemala are highly capitalized, and they're quite productive. And that's one sector, the sugar sector, that actually could compete against U.S. agro industry. But guess what? Sugar is exempt from the free trade agreement. So the U.S. sugar producers in the South don't have to compete with the one sector of the Guatemalan economy that actually is competitive. They're still protected from, so it's again, it's not really free trade. It's corporate trade. So.
Yeah, and when you look at it, when we were told by our vaunted politicians in Washington, D.C., before the North America Free Trade Agreement was signed, we heard the general rhetoric, this was to increase the economic advantage for Mexico, it's to build their infrastructure. Yeah, American jobs, well, we would just add American jobs here. This was all a lie, basically, and one politician, forgive me, I can't remember who the guy was that said it, he said, what we're seeking to do is level the playing field between our two great countries.
Yeah.
Now, I look at Mexico, I'm looking at Mexico, and then I'm looking at the United States with multi-million-dollar houses and manicured lawns and Lexuses in the driveway, and I'm going, what in the hell are they talking about?
I know. Do we want to level up playing field with a country where the majority of the population lives on $2 below $2 a day?
Yeah, and what I see here is I see a country. I mean, I really feel badly for the Mexican people. They feel bad enough themselves. That's why we got 30 million of them in this country illegally. They're searching a better life. I don't blame them for that. But why don't these people down there just have a good old-fashioned revolution, throw the seven families out down there, throw the crooks out, and get on with living life?
Well, things are happening in Mexico. You know, every 100 years they have a Mexico, 1810, 1910, and we're coming up on 2010. I'd be worried if I were the Mexican oligarch.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We have seen and been witness, at least in our lifetime, folks, many political, how should we say, dramatics. What we're doing in the Middle East right now, at the point of a gun, it's diplomacy at the point of a gun, if there is such a thing. We're witnessing countries in the Middle East being occupied, while we seem to be buds and pals with the people over there that the rest of the Middle East doesn't really care for. And this type of, and I've heard it said before, cowboy diplomacy from our guy that thinks himself to be a rancher down here in in Texas. It's not boding well. Before we jump to that, though, I wanted you to talk about the recent elections, if you would, sir, down in Mexico. The outgoing Vicente Fox, there's riots. People are being killed in the streets in Mexico. What's going on with that?
Well, it's just a chronic crisis. I mean, again, to step back, you look at the economic situation of the country, where a majority of the population live on less than $2 a day. There's enormous wealth concentrated in a few hands. NAFTA did absolutely nothing to break up monopoly power among these corporate oligarchs,
or increase the standard of living for the individual,
or increase the standard of living for the majority of the population. And there's been, I mean, what you see here is the kind of decomposition of the old political elite, the PRI, that had ruled Mexico since the Mexican Revolution, 1910, 1920s. They kind of gave up power, but they still have quite a strangle kind of patronage lock on municipalities, on departments, particularly in the south and the west. And then you have the consolidation of Vicente Fox political party, a kind of center right political party, the PAN. But then you also have a kind of center left political coalition that was the number two political candidate, Manuel Lopez Obrador, and he came within a hair's breadth of winning the presidency, a couple of 100,000 votes. In an election, by the way, that seems that there was rampant fraud, both in the counting of the ballots and also the amount of money that corporations and U.S. consultants, the influence of U.S. consultants in trying to make sure that Lopez Obrador didn't win and Vicente Fox's candidate did win, Felipe Calderon. In Oaxaca, there's been 7 months.
Did he really win, or was it a vote fix down there? Apparently, what it's starting to look like to me is there was a vote fix in Mexico to get his replacement in office.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. One is that there does seem to have been fraud on the day of the vote in the way the ballots. You know, by the way, the votes were never actually counted. You know, there were precinct tallies, and those tallies were tallied. What the loser demanded was that the actual votes be counted, and that has not been done.
That sounds reasonable. if you have two people running for an office, you
and
get
especially
out,
if, you know, if one wins by, you know, less than 0.04%, you would think that a recount. And then there were other anomalies, but then there was also the Electoral Commission ruled that the day of the voting was clean and fair, but the Electoral Commission, which did confirm Calderon, Vicente Fox's guy, did acknowledge that in the campaign itself, that Vicente Fox and Calderon did a number of illegal actions. There's very strict electoral rules, not like here, where negative campaigning is not legal. There's strict finance laws.
Don't you just love when crooks admit that there's been some anomaly?
Yeah.
Just love it?
I know. So what you have in Mexico is you have hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, who think the current president, the incoming president, is illegitimate. And not only that, they've actually sworn allegiance to Lopez Obrador, who's setting up a parallel government, who swore himself in as Mexico's true president. Then in the south of Mexico, in Oaxaca, which is a kind of indigenous state, Native American state, which is very poor, very agrarian. It's a lot of the undocumented workers come from Oaxaca, come from Puebla around there. There's been massive protests around corruption and repression of the governor of Oaxaca, and that's an ongoing problem. So what you see now, one thing that actually is not so. There was a series of protests planned for his inauguration, so Calderon actually had to get sworn in at midnight the night before behind closed doors. I mean, Mexico is a very regal country. The inaugurations are very, you know, very ceremonial.
Yeah, there's a lot of pomp and ceremony.
Lots of pomp and ceremony, and so to have to actually be inaugurated behind closed doors
and then have to slide out the back door.
And then it's broadcast on corporate TV. It was a little demeaning. It's not a good start for Calderon's presidency. The other bad sign is that Calderon appointed as his Minister of the Interior, which is in charge of domestic security, Francisco Ramirez, who used to be the governor of the state of Jalisco, very much implicated in human rights abuses and cracking down on anti-globalization protests, implicated in a couple of cases of disappearances and torture. And the idea is that he picked this guy because he represents a hard, you know, a mano duro, a kind of hard hand, a strong hand coming into power, facing all of these kind of rolling, cascading protests.
Well, and if they're short of qualified help down there, I'm sure I refer to him as Mr. Blockhead, former governor of Pennsylvania. They can get Tom Ridge down there if they want. You know, I mean, you want somebody that knows how the game's played? Yeah, get somebody that knows what they're doing. I wanted to ask you, by the way, I have a friend that worked for the Agriculture Department for years and years and years and years, and he was looking at the disparity of the United States versus Mexico. He understood the economic chaos that's constantly in Mexico. He understood the heavy hand, elite heavy hand down there, money grubbing, backroom deals, graft, corruption, unbelievable, on unbelievable scale. And he foresaw this illegal invasion into this country, and he tried to take steps to change that. And one of the things he came up with was the what he called a Peace for Oil program, that we would buy all the oil that Mexico could pump. We would help them make investment in modernizing their drilling and transportation, all of those things, with a proviso that whatever we bought from Mexico in the way of the oil, that a certain percentage of that be set aside for infrastructure building, roads, right, bridges, water treatment facilities, which all of Mexico needs, unless you're in one of the hot-see-tot-see tour spots that are kind of like an unreal, surreal bubble from the rest of the country. But he came to this conclusion better than 20 years ago, and he had the ears of a lot of congressmen and senators. But every time that this started to make a headway, he was constantly blocked. Now, this was the guy that he did some. The Agriculture Department personnel are not looked at real hard as being an intelligence agency. So therefore, this guy, I mean, he got Marcos out of the Philippines. He got him into Mexico. And they turned around and offered him a $250 million bribe to take his assets and move it into U.S. banks. He turned them down flat. Now, that's my kind of guy in Washington, D.C., that can turn down a quarter of a billion dollars and say, no, that's dishonest. I like those kind of people. But at any rate, he came up with all sorts of things. And I'm thinking now repatriation. I mean, since you talked about every 100 years they have a revolution down in Mexico, I think we have pretty close to 30 million illegals in this country right now. We could all pack them a sack lunch. We have 250 million guns in this country. We could all give them a gun, enough ammunition, a brown bag, and give them transportation to the border. Let them go down there, have a nice little coup and a revolution, and let's get this country straightened around, because we're tired of seeing the disenfranchised, the broken, come into this country. And it's part of the balkanization or globalization process itself, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, well, certainly migration, undocumented migration, has been an important safety valve for Mexican political system. And it is true that as it gets increasingly difficult to do that, to migrate legally or illegally, it will create more pressure within Mexico and Central America. Certainly. Certainly, migration to the United States has over the last 20 years in Central America has saved that country from political turmoil. You can think of the 1960s, 1970s, and 1980s in Central America that were one of kind of constant political crisis. A lot of it driven by changes in the agricultural system that kind of threw off people off their land and mm-hmm. the extension of the agro industry, but then also those countries in the 1980s saw chronic political crises. Young people today are less involved in politics in Central America. They want to come to the United States. So it is a generational project where if people were involved in the 60s and 70s were trying to change their country in the 80s and 90s or 90s and you know they've given up trying to change their country and they just want to get out. And so the more difficult it is for something like that, the more it does create pressure within Mexico and Central America. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to draw the parallels here between what's been done in Central and South America to what's being done in the Middle East.
Right. Well, the parallels, what I try to do in the book Empire's Workshop, is is look at how neoconservatives really use Central America, neoconservatives and militarists, and also conservative Christian evangelicals kind of came together. It was the first time that alliance, that coalition which stands behind George Bush after 9/11, that kind of got us into the Iraqi war and made preventative unilateral warfare, the kind of diplomatic stance of the U.S., where that coalition first came together. It was in Central America. You know, Iran-Contra was effectively a dress rehearsal for these guys. It taught them how to wage an aggressive war outside of any kind of public or congressional oversight.
Well, the problem we have, George Bush's preemptive war, that has replaced sound, sane foreign policy with foreign policy at a point of a gun.
Yeah, well, this because it was in Ronald Reagan came to power in 1980 promising to restore Americans' pride in the world after the crises of the 1970s, not just Vietnam, but Watergate and the whole sphere economic crises.
Yeah, and who else do you want to put in but an actor? He played the role well.
Well, but the thing is that Reagan was actually restrained, even though he rhetorically wasn't. He was rhetorically about reasserting reprojecting American power in the world. Everywhere else, he actually acted with quite a deal of moderation. He negotiated with Gorbachev. He allowed sanctions on South Africa. But the one place where he really did match word to deed was in Central America. Remember, Reagan patronized the Contras in Nicaragua and these death squad states in El Salvador and Guatemala. And at the time, people couldn't really understand why he was so committed to that conflict. He wouldn't back down, even to the point where he provoked a constitutional crisis. And the reason why is that Central America really was the place he gave to movement conservatives, neocons, and militarists. It was a kind of form of wish fulfillment because it was so inconsequential. They could do whatever they wanted there. And it was in Central America where the Republican Party really kind of brought together what I call in the book punitive idealism, not just a kind of rehabilitation of violence as a legitimate instrument of state, but then increasingly justifying that violence in idealistic terms. And this is the essence of the Bush Doctrine, that not only is it that we're going to bomb Iraq for weapons that they don't have, we're going to do it because we're going to bring freedom to the rest of the world. We want to rid the world of evil. It's the first time the Republican Party really embraced that idealist language was in Central America. Remember, Reagan anointed the Contras to be the moral equivalents of the Founding Fathers. It was Reagan and his defense of the Contras kind of rehabilitated Abraham Lincoln for the Republican Party.
And then the guys that engineered this arms for drugs deal, they're rewarded. They give them radio shows. I mean, this is so far out of skew. It is absolutely incredible. Your new book, The Rise of the New Imperialism.
Empire's Workshop, The Rise of the New Imperialism.
Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot the first part of that. Let me repeat that again so people can get that. Empire's Workshop, Latin America, the United States, and recently, The Rise of the New Imperialism. Where can they get your books at, sir?
Well, hopefully in independent bookstores, but worst comes to worst, you can get it on Amazon.
Worst comes to worst. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you spending the time with us, sir, and continued success. And it's very rare that I have anybody on this program that really knows the socio and economic machinations behind what we're seeing in the world today. Because when you watch the evening news and it's condensed, politically barren, I would say, reporting of the news, you very rarely get the skinny behind it.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
That's why we're here. Greg Grandin, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
All righty, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And again, his books, The Last Colonial Massacre. Who is trying to call me on here? Doesn't this entire planet know what time I'm on? That's interesting. We have screaming babies in the background. Okay. let me go through his book list here. The Last Colonial Massacre, Latin America in the Cold War. The Blood of Guatemala, The End, Empire's Workshop, Latin America. And the most recent book, The Rise of the New Imperialism. And gosh. Would somebody come here and get the cell phone? Gosh. Why people do this to me, I have no idea. Thank you, Manny. At any rate, Christmas special. I want to squeeze this in before the break. We have a large selection of shortwave radios. for sale. Make great Christmas gifts. And probably the best-selling radio that I have had is the Cato 1103. You hear commercials on the network for it. And it's priced out at $110. We're going to give a $10 reduction in price for $100, ladies and gentlemen. You can get one of the, it's a neat shortwave. I got to tell you what, I've seen them all. I've been involved with the shortwave for a number of years, setting up times and looking at locations and gauging coverage. And then after you do all that, you look at the receivers that are on the market. You know, there's receivers out there. You can spend $500, $600 on a shortwave receiver, but do you really want to spend that money just to hear a shortwave program? Well, I've tried to give the best deals out there with the best products available in the marketplace. And one of the best ones we ran across, and I'm not knocking Sanjin, they make fine shortwave radios. Their flagship ATS-909, great radio. Their 818 tabletop models, if you don't like, scratchy, or you want more fidelity in your listening pleasure, certainly the Sanjin 818 series will do that just quite nicely. Nice tabletop radios, but some people like more portable-type radios that they can take them with them wherever they go. And it's hard to find features that are packed into small radios until I found that Cato 1103. Now, we've been selling that. Everybody else on the planet's been selling that for $139, whatever the case may be. And we were selling it for $110, but for a Christmas special, and you had to do this quick to get it in time for Christmas, we're selling that radio for $100. All right? Just give us a call at 800-724-2719 and make it a stocking-stuffing Christmas. Give a gift that'll keep on giving immeasurably. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Attention, if you're one of the millions of Americans who buy and trade stocks or invest in the real estate market, you'll want to hear this. Did you know that the Forex, foreign currency exchange market, trades over $2 trillion a day? That's more than the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ combined. Now, imagine being able to trade in the Forex without any prior trade experience or spending endless hours predicting market movements. Well, now you can. Introducing Freedom Rocks. Freedom Rocks' structured trading approach takes the guesswork out of what and when to buy by providing you a planned set of guidelines, all at a fraction of the cost of other similar type programs. And instead of focusing on thousands of stocks, Freedom Rocks focuses on the top four currency pairs. Our software tells you what to buy, how much to buy, and when to buy. Go to MySimpleForex.com. That's MySimple, the number 4, the letter X.com. And join the thousands who've discovered Freedom Rocks. Remember, MySimple, the number 4, the letter X.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
If I'm hearing voices here, this must mean I'm late back from the break. Is that right? Okay. Another special that we're running here, ladies and gentlemen, just in time for Christmas. The Royal Berkey. What we've done is reconfigured this Royal Berkey. It'll hold 3 1/4 gallons. The filters are good for at least 2,000 gallons. It's got a capacity of filtering 72 gallons a day. This is a unit that, that's right, you just don't have to use it for your drinking water. And I got to be honest with you, I got 3 cats and 2 dogs at home. They will not drink tap water. Once we start giving them the Berkey water, they will sit there and walk over to a dish if it's tap water, sit there, smell it, sit down, and look at you like, what are you trying to pull here? So at any rate, if you've got a Berkey, it's got the capacity for other than just drinking water, then you can do other things like cook with it. I would highly suggest that. There is too many unmentionables in our water supply system, and not good. At any rate, the Royal Berkey, they reworked that, put the 4 bigger Imperial ceramic filters in it, and then they put the PF4s, the post-4 filter elements in there that removes the chlorine and the fluoride and all kinds of MTBEs and all kinds of stuff that it's colorless, it's odorless, but yeah, that's right. Your body then becomes the filter before it goes back into God's green earth. Now, this was set up. Now, normally this was $381, it was actually even more than that. It was way more than that. But we came up with a price of $399. Now, that came from New Millennium Concepts. But I'm in a Christmassy kind of a mood. You guys know me. I'm not a greedy guy. I get the best products out there at the absolute cheapest prices. And I knocked another $25 off of their special. So for $374, folks, you can have a beautiful poly stainless steel countertop water filtration system and start enjoying the benefit of pure, clean, fresh drinking water. You will never go back. Once you taste Berkey water, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not purchased one of these things, if you've not tasted the Berkey water, then you do not know what you are missing. So take advantage of that. And again, that's $374. Normally $474. They came on the air. Adam Locke was just on the other day. He says, hey, you know, we put this show special together for you guys for $399. And I'm going, that sounds too much like $400 to me. Let's make it $374 and knocked off another $25. So give us a call here today. And these are deliverable, by the way, for Christmas. If you've got an in-law, you got people that you care about that you just don't know what to get them something that you know is going to be good for them, something they can use every single day. Why give them something that, isn't that nice and that pretty, it goes on the mantle or in the drawer someplace or in the closet? Don't do that. Give them something practical that they can use every single day of their life. And whether they're into health or fitness or whatever, you know at least you're keeping some of the poisons and the toxins out of the water that they are drinking. If you love them, show you care. Buy a Berkey. Give us a call at 800-724-2719 to take advantage of that Christmas special, and we will guarantee the delivery by before Christmas, all right? Or you can just tell us if you want it sent to a particular address. Now, that's always a great thing to do. You can order it, tell us what address you want it sent to, and it shows up on their doorstep, and you don't even have to wrap it or put a bow on it. All right, we'll take the break here, come back on the other side. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up right after this.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-